ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to the Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
So as false information that was circulating around so much about this, that many believe it's true. Ken Ham, when he had his debate with Bill Nye, the science guy. I shouldn't say he's the science guy, because he's really not a scientist. But Bill Nye is one of those guys that believes this, that there are no smart Christian scientists who have developed anything that's worthy. And in this debate that was going on, so Ken Ham knew of what he felt like. And so he showed the guy that had had a little video about a guy who had developed the MRI machine. And all the lives that this machine has saved because of the details you could see in the human body. Things you could find that you couldn't see on a CT scan. And guess what? He believes in a literal six-day creation. He's a Bible-believing Christian. So do Christians come up with things that help us? Absolutely. Well, why do we have this false information? Because people like Bill Nye and others promote it. If you say it loud enough and long enough, people will believe it. People have called me, oh, you're a flat earther, huh? I don't even know where they get that from. I really don't know. Well, I guess that there are some Christians on Facebook who have said this, that the earth is flat. But, you know, in Isaiah it says it's a sphere. It's not flat. So, again, false information, why? To discredit what we believe. And we'll talk about that as we get on a little bit here. We can see what transpired as these different people had their own opinion. There was this division among the people because of him. And it wasn't, again, like I said, you know, you have your opinion, I have mine, let's go for lunch. No, it was a heated debate between them. Jesus made it very clear who he was and what he came to do. Remember, I said in the Gospel of John over and over and over again, we see him say that I am. I am Almighty God, I am equal with the Father. And so there's all this division about who he is. And here's the thing. As Christians, with the essential truths of the Bible, the foundational truths, there's no opinion. It's the word of God and nothing more and nothing less. It's not about my opinion. Now, are there non-essential doctrines that we can debate about? Yeah. The empowering of the Holy Spirit, is it true or is it false? We could talk about that. That is a non-essential doctrine. But if you come up to me and you tell me, well, you know, Jesus isn't God, I'm going to point you to the fact that he is. Because that is a foundational doctrine. If you tell me, well, the blood atonement, God would never do something like that, I am going to show you in the scriptures that that is a foundational truth that we can't compromise on. You see, there are issues we cannot negate. Those other issues we can talk about. But the foundational issues, no way. And it's interesting. Some of them wanted to take him, but no one laid hands on him. So they were pretty mad at Jesus, right? They wanted to take him, and who knows, you know, whatever they were going to do to him. They were stirred up. But no one laid hands on him. How could that be? Because it wasn't his time. There's an exact day. This is going to happen. This is going to happen on Passover. He's going to rise on the Feast of First Fruits. This is all planned out by God. It's a picture. So we see our next point, division between the Jewish religious leaders. And this is hilarious. I would love to have this on film because it's just hilarious to me. I don't know. Maybe it's just me, but it's very funny to me. Look at verse 45 here in John 7. Then the officers came to the chief priests and Pharisees, who said to them, "Why have you not brought him?" And the officers answered, "No man ever spoke like this man." Then the Pharisees answered them, "Are you also deceived? Have any of the rulers or the Pharisees believed in him? But this crowd that does not know the law is accursed. Nicodemus, he who came to Jesus by night, being one of them, said to them, does our law judge a man before it hears him and knows what he is doing? They answered and said to him, are you also from Galilee? Search and look, for no prophet has arisen out of Galilee. And everyone went to his own house. The chief priests and the Pharisees send some officers to arrest Jesus. Okay? These guys were not like the Three Stooges, all right? These officers. These guys were officers. They were guards, and they came to arrest Jesus. And they weren't able to. And it wasn't because they were incompetent. Again, it's not the right time for Jesus to be arrested. But I love what these religious leaders say. Why haven't you brought him? This is your whole job. We told you to go get Jesus, and you come with nothing. What's up with that? And they said, no man ever spoke like this man. Wow. Jesus blew their minds, and they didn't arrest him. I remember after I got saved, going to Calvary Chapel of Elk Grove and sitting down for the first time and hearing a Bible study being taught. No man ever spoke like that. This speaking the words of God to me. I was like, you know, Pastor Phil taught for an hour plus, right? Kind of like me, I guess. And I want it more. You're stopping here. Come on, I want to hear more of this. That's these guys. They heard Jesus speak and they're like, blew their minds. And the response of the Pharisees is interesting. You can hear their resentment, their anger in their voices. And it's hard to get, you know, that obviously with the written words. But they said, are you also being deceived? And you can just hear their sarcastic remark. Because these Jewish religious leaders didn't believe what Jesus was saying. They wanted him arrested. But these officers now are blown away. And I don't think they ever allowed what Jesus said to become part of their life. Because think about it. It's really easy to be enamored by Jesus, fascinated by him. But unless you repent of your sins and ask him to be Lord and Savior of your life, you're not going to see the kingdom of God. The word repent means to do an about-face, to turn around. You were moving away from God, now you're turning towards God and you're following him. And here's this division now between these Jewish religious leaders. They're fighting amongst themselves. And these religious or Pharisees are said to these officers, challenging what they were beginning to believe. And I think that challenge caused them to turn away. They let the pressures of others keep them from Jesus, and that's what people do today. Why? Because they want to fit in. They don't want to be seen as some kind of Jesus freak. So they go along with the crowd because there's just too much to lose if you come to Jesus. And I'm here to say there's too much to lose if you don't come to Jesus. Ray Stedman said this is one of the humorous incidents of the gospel. Can you imagine how these chief priests felt when their very officers, whom they sent out to arrest Jesus, returned having been really arrested by him? Where is he? The priest demanded. You knew where he was. Why didn't you bring him? And we can almost hear the response of the men. Well, it's hard to tell you exactly what happened. But as we were listening to him, he somehow got through to us. We became so wrapped up in what he was saying, we forgot what we were sent to do. We have to say that we have never heard anybody speak like this man. Listen again to what John 7:49 says. We're told the Pharisees said, but this crowd that does not know the law is accursed. They're putting down these officers who were sent to arrest Jesus. Now they're degrading those who would follow Jesus, the common people. The Living Bible puts John 7:49 like this. These stupid crowds do, yes, but what do they know about it? A curse upon them anyway. Isn't that interesting? They look down upon the people. They saw them as cursed because they didn't keep the law like they did, and now they're listening to Jesus. Oh my. You know, these guys didn't even keep the law. Barclay gives us this insight. He says, the Pharisees had a phrase by which they described the ordinary simple people who did not observe the thousands of regulations of the ceremonial law. They called them the people of the land. To them, they were beneath contempt. Wow. Rabbi Hillel, a liberal rabbi of the generation before Christ, summed up this attitude when he said, no member of the common people is pious. The contempt, the disrespect they had for common people, and yet they were the ones leading people, or were to be leading people to God. They were to bring God to the people and people to God. Now they were looking down upon them. They had their ivory towers, and look at us, we're so wonderful. And they had the Pharisees had their black robes, and they walked outside. They would bring them in because they didn't want their robes to touch anyone. Why? The common people, they're unclean. And I'm a holy man of God. Really. That's all pride. That's all it is. Pride caused them to feel too educated to be taken in by Jesus. They knew better. And yet their pride kept them from that. And they basically were saying, we need to understand that only smart, only the spiritual people don't follow Jesus, and thus neither should you. Yeah. You know, you look at this, all this division, all this, who is Jesus, you know, and they come up with their own ideas. You know, I had a guy on Facebook, and, you know, I think he's so sincere. I think he's a great guy, but, you know, I had posted about our study, Truth Divides, and he had put on there, but basically you're going to hell because you don't worship on the Sabbath, you worship on Sunday. So, you know, when someone puts that on Facebook, I do have to respond because I don't want people thinking that he's right. So I said, are you Jewish? I asked him. Because in Exodus it says that the Sabbath day was for the Jews, not for Gentiles. I said, and Paul said in Colossians that these Sabbaths and new moons and all these feast days were a shadow, a picture of what was to come. The substance is Christ. So now that Jesus is here, the Lord of the Sabbath, you could worship on any day of the week. You could worship on the Sabbath. Praise God. Do it. But if you come up and say, thou shalt not worship on any other day but the Sabbath, I have a problem. He put some other stuff on there, and then I said, but you didn't answer my question. Are you Jewish? Because this was for the Jew. And really, it was for the Jew until the Messiah had come. And that was the end of the conversation. My heart goes out to him. And I think he really does love the Lord. He says, you know, I don't follow the law for salvation. Yeah, but you're telling me I'm going to hell. Why? Because I broke the law. So it does cause division when you start speaking the truth. That's the hard part. You know, think about this. How can intelligent people like you believe in creation? When we have all the evidence, it's not a theory of evolution, it's a fact of evolution. Have you ever heard people say that? They won't say it's a theory anymore. It is a fact. There is more evidence for creation than there is for evolution. Go check an evolutionary tree. Look for transitional forms. You'll find none. Oh, what about the horse? Well, a horse is a horse, of course, right? Look at the evolution of a horse. It's still a horse. The horse doesn't go into a cow or whatever. I don't know. It's a horse. You know, what about the finches, you know, they have different size beaks and stuff. I don't know, you guys all have different sized noses, and I don't think that has anything to do with evolution, okay? Come on. Think about it. Some say, well, Jesus wasn't a real person, they just made him up. Well, go look at the evidence for him. There are historical records of Jesus, but keep in mind that for the world, Jesus was nothing. He wasn't an emperor. He wasn't a famous person. He was your average Joe living in Israel. No one cared about him. But look at how his name has gone out throughout the whole world now. There's something about that name. There's something about Jesus. The evidence is there. And they come against us because we believe that there is sin out there, that there's homosexuality, the gay lifestyle. There are so many different things. And they say, come on, you got to, you know, get into the 21st century. You know what? Here's the thing about my God. My God knew what we'd be doing in the 21st century. He's already told me what is right and what is wrong. And if you really think that you could do whatever you want, read the book of Judges. because they did what was right in their own eyes because there is no king in Israel. And look at the last part of the book of Judges is horrible. You read that, you go, oh my gosh. You know, the woman has a man has a concubine, and the people of the city want to have sex with her, with the guys, they were homosexuals, but he takes her and throws her out to them. They abuse her all night long. He gets up in the morning after a good night's sleep. How do you sleep like that? Man, how evil. And basically walks by her and goes, come on, let's go. She's dead. So he takes her, cuts her up into 12 pieces and sends her to the 12 tribes of Israel. That's what happens when everyone does what is right in their own eyes. So I'm going to follow what God says. Why? Because he has what's right for me. Peter said in 1 Peter 3, verses 15 through 16, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as an evildoer, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. Given a defense, kind of like a formal defense in a judicial court. Can you defend your faith? Can you explain why you believe in Jesus? You know, it's not like, well, I just believe. No, why? Why do you believe what you believe? I believe because when I look at the totality of the scriptures, I see one unfolding message, a love story that has multiple controversial issues within it, but they don't contradict each other. I look at the historical aspect and name places, especially the Gospel of Luke. He is very detailed and understand that during that period of time, the places he was writing about, their names changed a lot. And he was exactly right. Others, historians have looked at that, challenging it, saying the Bible is false, and they read the Gospel of Luke and they came to saving faith because of it. I look at prophecy. How do you deny prophecy? You know, people say, oh, the book of Daniel was written after the fact. Well, yeah, understand that in 250 or so AD that the Jewish scriptures were translated into Greek because the Jews couldn't read. And so Daniel's book had to be done long before that. When I look at the scientific stuff, and again, this is a brief summary, God is never wrong. The things he tells us to do is good. Wash up. You touch a dead body, stay out for 7 days from the camp. Why? Because you may have got some kind of infection from that person. You don't want to spread it. Very wise things. So understand, know why you believe what you believe, and set yourself apart, consecrate yourself to the Lord. Follow him. The people will see something different in you. Why do you have such joy? What's going on in your life? How could you handle? I see all these difficult things going on, and you just seem to be able to handle it. What's going on? And you can tell them, you know what? I wish I could tell you it was me, but it's not. It's the Lord who's given me comfort. He's given me peace that surpasses all understanding. Share your faith. Don't allow the difficulties of our day to cause us to not share our faith, to lose sight of God being in control. I believe it was Asaph in the Psalms. You know, saw all the prosperity of the wicked, how they died with smiles on their faces. They just had a great time no matter what. They were invited on the talk shows, you know, all that stuff. And, you know, here was Asaph, you know, I wash my hands, I'm clean, I'm a good boy. And he said, you know what? I did not understand until I went into the house of the Lord and then I knew their end. You know what? We have to understand there's a world of people that are dying in their sins. And we need to bring the gospel to them. We can't let their anger, their bitterness, or what they say to us, or how they mock us, cause us to stop. I mean, I had an opportunity on Saturday. I pulled into the church, you know, and I'm getting out, and a guy over here across the street had his trunk hood opened up. And if you know anything about me, I pretty much know how to turn the ignition of the car and turn it on and put gas in the car. I could put oil in, but that's about it. You know, I can't really help him. And he got out of his car and he said, can you help me? I'm going, oh my God, Lord, please. And he said, can you jump start my car? I'm like, no, hopefully he knows how to do this. And he had jumper cables and I was able to get them. And here's the interesting thing. He pulls out money to give to me. I'm like, no, I'm glad I was able to help you. God bless you. And he was so thankful. And I just pray, you know, Lord, just a little incident like that, it took me like 2 minutes, right, to bless someone. May we do that. You see, it's so interesting how the religious leaders denied who Jesus was, even though he talked about his deity, his, you know, virgin birth, the miracles that are there, his resurrection. People today deny all that stuff too. But what I love is the simplicity of a child. Jesus loves me, this I know, because the Bible tells me so. Why do we make it so complicated, right? Oh, you got to go through this hoop. You got to jump through this. If you don't come to this, if you do this, do that. But Jesus loves me, this I know, because the Bible tells me so. You know, I like Nicodemus. He's a Pharisee, right? Nicodemus came to Jesus at night. Remember our study, Nick at night, right? You'll never forget that. I know you groan. But he came at night. But he tries to stand up for Jesus. He says, look, the law says it's not legal to convict a man before he can defend himself. You see, they're violating their own law that they had made. So they're guilty, right? And how did they respond to what Nicodemus said? Well, verse 52 of John 7. They answered and said to him, are you also from Galilee? Search and look, for no prophet has arisen out of Galilee. These are the religious men. They know everything, right? Hey, believe me, I don't know everything. I'm far from that. I learn all the time. So they're looking down upon the Galileans. They did with scorn. They didn't like them. They were country folk, I guess, whatever. And no prophet ever came out of Galilee. I'm surprised Jesus didn't say, have you not read, right? 2 Kings 14:25, the prophet Jonah came from Gath-Hepher, which was 3 miles north of Nazareth in Lower Galilee. Oh, I thought no prophet came from Galilee. Elijah from Thisbe, Nahum possibly, and Hosea came from Galilee. They thought they knew the scriptures. They were so prideful, and they were wrong. And in the end, everyone went to their own house. The feast is over. The lean-tos have been taken down. People are returning back to their life. And some were touched by Jesus. Others, they just continue with their religious practice. And the same happens today in churches across America. As the Word of God is taught, some receive what God has for them, and others, they leave as they came. And I'll just close with this. These words are from Ray Studman. He said, but the point, of course, is they were sarcastic, pompous, cynical, and calloused in their attitude. This is often the reaction of those who are disturbed by the words of Jesus. I want to close this message, however, not on this negative note where John leaves us, but on the gracious words of Jesus, if anyone thirst. What a wonderful word that is, if anyone thirst. There was a popular song a few years ago, Is This All There Is? He said, do you feel that way about life? Are you looking for more? Well, do not look for it in travel or increased business success, in new gadgets, in cars or houses or things. They will never satisfy your thirst. Although some of you know that, you still keep doing it. Here is what will satisfy your thirst. If anyone thirsts, let him come unto me and keep on drinking. As you listen to Jesus, as you draw upon the fact of his presence, as you lean on his grace and enjoy his love and his acceptance, you will find that he will change you. And one of the signs of that change, as certain as tomorrow's sunrise, is that you will begin to think of somebody other than yourself. You will reach out to the hurting around you, and when you do that, your heart will be satisfied. Meaning, significance, power, and companionship will come into your life. That is a promise of Jesus, and I hope many will claim it today. Absolutely. When Jesus truly touches your life, he transforms it. The world wants to conform you into their image, and they're doing a really good job today. But God wants to transform you by the renewing of your mind. How do you renew your mind? By being in the Word of God and seeing what God has for you. What a wonderful God we have. If anyone thirsts, let him come unto me and drink, right? The invitation for all. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, we love you so much. And Lord, you are so wonderful, so patient, so long-suffering. that you keep drawing people. And you keep teaching us. You never give up on us, no matter how many times we fail or blow it. And I thank you for that, Lord. And I pray here this morning, those here, those listening on the radio, the internet, Lord, bless them. May your word take root in their lives and encourage them and strengthen them and see how much you love them. As those words go, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Thank you, Lord. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion, won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.